Let me get myself fixed up here. Prove it. I said, what? Well, if you paid attention to the bulletin and you looked at my title for the lesson tonight, it was prove it. And there have been a few folks today that already have had a little bit of fun with that with me on what I was going to talk about. And I don't want to let Phil down because I said I was going to make mention of this tonight. But in the process of putting this lesson together, a thought popped into my head that probably has very little to do initially with our lesson. The proof is in the pudding. You ever heard that before? And I don't know why that stuck out in my head, so I did a little bit of research on it. And really, that's just a variation of the, I guess what we would call the more original saying, which is the proof of the pudding is in the eating or in the tasting, which kind of makes more sense because you can look at something and say, boy, that looks good, but looks can be deceiving. But when you taste it, you know whether it's good or whether it's not. Where am I going with this? Well, kind of looking at us and our relationship with God. There are going to be folks, and I'm sure there have been folks, that have wondered about us on an individual basis. We say, I'm a Christian. I live for Jesus. I love God. But have you ever had one say, prove it? Because number one, if they say prove it, either they don't know you, or they haven't seen enough difference in your lifestyle that would indicate you're a Christian. I'm saying that about me too. If someone says that to me, well, prove it, Dave, that you're a Christian. Well, how do I go about that? Before we get to that, though, I want us to consider that the Bible on a number of occasions, and I'm going to just stick with some New Testament verses, talk about that idea of proving ourselves. Now, there are different definitions as you look to the idea of prove or proof. It can mean to test or to examine. Excuse me, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. To discern. And really what we're going to look at is the ideas of testing and examining, and we'll see that in these verses. But something I found interesting in the process, we're going back to that thing that I kind of pulled out of the blue a moment ago, with the proof is in the pudding. But a definition that they gave in the process seemed to really fit with our lesson this evening, where it says, the real worth, success, or effectiveness of something can only be determined by putting it to the test by trying or using it. And the Bible does put us to the test. It says, okay, Dave, you say you're a follower of mine? Prove it. Show it to me. Take note, for example, and we'll be looking at several verses this evening. I told Tim this wasn't going to be a long lesson. I said it's going to be shorter than usual. I hope that's the case. I hope I wasn't lying to him. Maybe he's saying to me, well, prove it. You said it's going to be shorter. Prove it. Well, we're going to find out in Romans chapter 12. And it's a verse or a couple of verses that we cite or read quite often. First two verses, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. Show that you've transformed into the life that God wants you to have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And depending on the version of the Bible you have in front of you, it might read a little bit differently. I've got the New King James in front of me this evening. It says, examining yourselves as to whether you're in the faith, test yourselves. Many versions will say, prove yourselves. Prove it. And examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Or another verse found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Test all things, or prove all things. Hold fast what is good. So the Bible and God and His Son Jesus, they kind of take us to task. You say you're my follower. Prove it to me. So how do we do that? How do we prove our faith? There are a lot of things that we could say. But one of the things that always sticks out to me, and you probably heard me say this on a number of different occasions, we need to learn God's Word, what it says, and truly take it to heart and do what it says, to live the life that He presents to us that is pleasing to Him. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, Matthew 7, verse 21. We can say, and I can say to someone, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. But it's not enough just to say that. We've got to show it in the way in which we live our lives. And that's what the second half of that verse says. He who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's the one that's the key. Yes, we can say, Lord, Lord, all we want. But show it through the life that we live. Do the Lord's will. And the only way we can do the Lord's will is know what His will says, what it teaches. A favorite verse of mine found in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. In some versions, and I like this rendering of it as well, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Yeah. If we say that we love the Lord, shouldn't we be doing what He says? That's what Scripture teaches us. And we can look to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 as well, where it talks, study to show thyself approved unto God, or be diligent to do so. So we need to study God's Word. We need to learn His commands. We also need to learn from the examples that are presented to us in God's Word. And we have a multitude of examples that show us how the early Christians lived and it was pleasing and acceptable to God. And we need to look to those examples as well and follow those examples. And we can learn from examples from the Old Testament too. Matter of fact, we have at least a couple of different passages of Scripture that talk about that. Example, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope. We can learn from what folks did in the past. We can learn from the early church. And we can continue to learn from those who have, in our day and time, who have gone through numerous experiences and have fought the good fight. And look to their example to pattern our own lives after as well, as long as that's conforming to the will of God. And we could also look to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Actually, the first 11 verses there really goes back into a lot of the time of Moses and the things that went on at that particular time, and how the people were so rebellious and disobedient to the teachings that Moses was giving to them from God. But notice how he sums things up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me, in verse 11, there it reads, "Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Our example for our admonition. So let's learn from God's teachings, His commands, learn from the examples that are presented within His Word, that we can learn, number one, what we should be doing. Number two, what we shouldn't be doing. Why is all this important? Well, once again, there are numerous things that we could say. I just want to look at two in particular. It's important for us to prove our faith and our allegiance to the Lord, because it's pleasing and acceptable to Him. That's what He wants from us. Colossians 1, verse 10. There it reads, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So if we walk worthy of the Lord, we are pleasing Him. And I like how they said it, fully pleasing Him. And that's what we want to do. We want to please Him, and we want to be fruitful for Him and for His cause. And we could look over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And let's just flip over there real fast. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him." We can't please God without faith. And that's an obedient faith that he's talking about, if you go ahead and see what it says here afterward. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The effort put out there. We diligently seek Him, and we honor Him through faithful service to Him by following His commands. So we want to please God, and we want to prove that to Him through our lives and through our love for Him, through our actions that conform to His teachings. But secondly, it's important because of the impact that He wants us to have on others, and the impact that we can have on others, the influence that we can have on them. Going back to the Sermon on the Mount, very early in that, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it's probably a verse that many remember and probably can recite. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We want our lights to shine. We want to prove to people, yes, we are honestly and sincerely disciples of, followers of the Lord. And we do that through letting the light of Jesus shine through us in the things that we do, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And a similar thought is expressed in 1 Peter 2, verse 12. And we'll not go over there and read that, but there's a lot of similarity there. That people can see us, and we need to be out there so people can see us. And here's why I'm stepping on my own feet some. Because I've found in retirement, it's easy just kind of hang out around home. But that doesn't do a whole lot of good for the Lord unless I'm getting on the phone and talking to people. I need to get out and let that light shine. And we all need to. If we want to have a positive impact on this community in which we live, we've got to get out and let people see us and talk to them. Get to know people. And let them actually see, hey, there's something different about you. What is it? And there's that door. There's that opportunity that's opened. Say, it's because I believe in and I love the Lord. Let me tell you about Him. And then you take off from there. So, and I was right. I proved it to you. This isn't a very long lesson tonight. But there's no need to belabor things. It was intended to be a basic lesson, but one to encourage us to do what we can. Here we are at the very end of the first month of a new year. Let's make it a great year by living for the Lord and serving Him and getting out within the community and letting Christ be seen in us and prove to people that yes, we are genuine. Yes, we are the Lord's people, and we want them to be as well. So may we prove our worth as Christians by doing our very best each and every day to abide by the will of God. And remember, our lives are no longer our own, but have been crucified with Christ. And now we live for Him and not for ourselves. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I hope this has been encouraging to you tonight. That was its intent. But also I hope it spurs us on to do the work of the Lord to the best of our ability. If you're here tonight and you need to become a Christian, if you haven't become a Christian yet, we encourage you to become one. Show the Lord that you love Him by making your allegiance with Him, by obeying the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you need the prayers of the congregation to do a better job of living the life that the Lord wants you to live, won't you come as we stand and sing our invitation song?